So these are the highlights for today. Now if you would turn to your Bibles for today's scripture reading, Luke 15, 11 through 32. Let's rise for the reading of God's Word. Why don't we read it responsively? The presider will read the odd-numbered verses, and the congregation will read the even numbers. Luke 15, 11 through 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends.' My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" You may be seated. Today, Pastor Wilson will be giving the message entitled "The God of the Kingdom."
Good morning, everyone. Before we dive into today's sermon, I want to say something. Speak Up, the concert. I was glad to see that effort. I mean, a lot of us, we joined the concert about two Saturdays ago. And this is part of the effort that this local church tried to move forward toward, is to encourage the congregation, encourage us as a whole, to live up a lifestyle that is a missional, to bring God's love as we partake God's love, and bring God's love to share with other people, whether it is spiritual means or material means. But when we do that, we ought to put it in a proper context from the biblical point of view. So, in other words, to live a missional life, that means we not only take God's love and spread out the good gospel to people around us, but we also care about the needs of people around in our community. Now, it could express in different ways, because among our congregation, we live in different lifestyle, different life stages. And some, for people and co-workers like Anita and her team, that they have a lot of time and energy after their study, after their work. They can put things together like that and reach out to the community, reach out to different churches, and reach out to different groups to express God's love in a very very tangible way. But also for us folks like in my age, that we have family, we have a lot of things, logistic to run, we can still live a missional life by taking the gospel to people who are similar to our life stage and share with that. Some of the good example is you can see some of the family group among us that they spread out the gospel to a degree that they one group has to split into two or three, and then even some of the group has to concentrate on the seekers. And these are the effort that we try to encourage. And this is the very reason why in the beginning of this year I start to engage in a serious message about Jesus' parables. Parables about God's kingdom. Because with the proper understanding of our relationship with our Lord and His kingdom, we can build proper relationship with our Lord and therefore enable us to communicate, enable us to bring forth God's message to the people that God trusts around us. So if you recall that 3 Sundays ago, the first parable was about wheat and about yeast, about mustard seed. Now, that parable, the significant point is the parable Jesus put forth is good and evil coexist. Now, this gives us a proper perspective to look at the effort that we do. Because throughout church history, many people has the compassion to bring God's kingdom to actualize it on earth. But many fail because they forgot about the very important fact is God did not call us to uproot evil. To uproot evil is His angel, His messengers, His agent's job. But we are called in this earth, live in this life, to live in life that will shine through, that will grow, but at the same time coexist with certain evil in our world. Now we ought to put that in the proper perspective. Otherwise, all this effort we do, we will bound for disappointment. And in church history, many, many people disappointed. Because however effort they put in, try to establish God's kingdom on earth, but they still see evil. They still see the wickedness. But the Bible told us very, very clearly, on this earth, we are not going to uproot that. And neither does that to be our responsibility. It is God's kingdom. It's God's responsibility. God will send forth His angel to do that. But we have to be faithfully live that. But on the other hand, that doesn't mean that we can retreat and stay in the sanctuary and just read our Bible and share our love among our brothers and sisters. No, God still calls us. Jesus calls us to care about those who are in need. And as a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, that God's judgment weighed upon the nation of Israel so heavily was because they totally ignore social justice. They totally ignore the poor. They totally ignore the fatherless. And they totally ignore the widow. And this is the church responsibility. So as a congregation, we are encouraged to grow toward that missional lifestyle. And you can see that, you know, over all these months, that with the public message, with all these efforts that we put together, God is moving us toward a direction. God is moving us toward a direction that will touch His heart, and we can grow together. So the second parable last week that we preached about was a parable about two debtors. And in that parable, we can see that God's heart is not only for those who think they are deeply in trouble. God's heart is also for those who might not think that they are in debt at all. Jesus has the same love toward the woman who wept and used her hair to dry Jesus' feet and anoint Jesus' feet with alabaster perfume. But Jesus' heart is also for the Pharisee, Simon. However wicked his motivation was, Jesus still carried the same love toward him. Now this morning, we are bringing to the third parable of the kingdom. This parable is very familiar to all of us, even for seekers, even for people who are not in the Christian world. We all heard about the parable of the prodigal son. Now this is the parable, but today I bring to you two pictures. These two pictures are two gentlemen. I don't know whether you recognize them. On the left-hand side is a guy named Ted Bundy. Now, how many of you know about Ted Bundy, heard about him? Well, quite a few, right? Ted Bundy was a horrible, horrible criminal. He was a serial killer. He was responsible for at least 30, even maybe more, brutal killing in the late 70s to early 80s in the last century. He grew up in a broken family with domestic violence, but in the mid-80s, he was captured. And after his capture, a lot of criminologists tried to study him because he shaped tremendous insight into the study of criminals' mind. Now, Ted Bundy was executed in Florida in late 80s. I think it's 89. He was executed on an electric chair. The night before his execution, James Dobson went to visit him. James Dobson, the founder of the Focus on Family Ministry, he went to visit him and he taped his interview with Ted Bundy. Now, I saw the tape. I saw the tape on James Dobson's interview. But when I saw the tape, one thing struck me. When James Dobson walked into the prison, tried to visit him, there was a lot of protesters outside of the prison expressed their outrage, expressed their anger toward a serial criminal, a cold-blooded murderer like Ted Bundy. He not only murdered his victim, 30 young women. He mutilized their body and he dumped it in different places. And it took the law enforcement more than a decade to recover those bodies. Now, a person who commits such a horrible crime, the last moment of his life, he came to know Christ. And that was the reason why James Dobson went to interview him. But the crowd was outrageous. The crowd was outrageous. And I can understand that. Why were they outrageous? A person commits such a crime, brings so much pain to numerous families. How could he be in heaven just because he just made that prayer? How could a person commit such a horrible crime, make a simple prayer, confessed, and he will be in heaven? Now the picture on your right hand side is another story which my family sort of like indirectly encountered. That was in 1997. This picture was taken in 98. I downloaded it from the website. You see that the two gentlemen in the middle. One is with a blur face to protect his identity, but the one on the left-hand side, sort of a little bit short and stalking the guy, he also was another serial killer. In another country, in Taiwan, that was the year that my family moved back to Taiwan when I went to seminary. The first year we landed in the capital city of Taiwan, Taipei. Taipei was horrified at that time, because he and two other fugitives, they were running rampage in this island of Taiwan, and finally they went to Taipei City. They kidnapped some movie star's daughter, high school daughter, chopped up her finger, sent it to the mother, asked for ransom, and later on killed the girl. And then when police were pursuing them, they were running around while they ran away from the police. They keep killing, raping, and hurting a lot of people. And finally, they hold a diplomat's family hostage in the final standoff with the police. And then finally, the police capture them. Now, that picture was taken in a prison. The two guys standing on both sides were ministers. They brought gospel to those people. And this guy, named Chen, he decided to accept Christ. That was outrageous in Taiwan's media. How could a horrible criminal be saved? And so easy. That's it. That was the time, 98, he was baptizing. And later on, 99, he was executed for his crime. God's love towards sinner sometimes is very, very offensive to people. Today, in the parable of the prodigal son, there are three characters. I want to take you on a little journey with these three characters. The first character is the prodigal son, the younger son. In the scripture, it describes the younger son out of the blue, asked for father, why don't you give me my portion of your inheritance so that I can live my own life? Now, you have to understand that in Jesus' time, in the Jewish tradition, the father would not give out the inheritance until he's dead. So the younger son's request is the same statement as, father, why don't you die now? Why don't you just drop dead? And I want to take my portion. I want to spend my portion. I want to build my own life. Now, the peculiar things in this parable is the father did not prevent that. The father did not prevent that happen. Nor did the father intervene the son's decision to live a sinful lifestyle. No, he did not do anything. He just gave him his portion and let him go. This is the point, I think, for a lot of us, difficult to understand. Because a lot of people ask the question, God, if you exist, you are good, why didn't you do something about the evilness, the bad thing about this world? But in this parable, Jesus put it very, very particular at this point. The father did not say anything. The father did not prevent that happen. He did not stop the son. He did not stop his decision. He did not try to manipulate his decision. But rather, he just gave him his portion and let him go. Now, I don't know whether you understand that, but as a father, sometimes we understand that. As a parent, we understand that. Because your children's heart cannot be won back by argument. Your children's heart cannot be won back by winning their mind only. Your children's heart can only be won back by love. And sometimes the love has to let them go their own way until they find out that their own way is a dead end. That is the Father's strategy. That is why we live in a world that good and evil are still coexisting. That is why a lot of us, God allow us to wander around, to struggle. It seems to be searching and couldn't find a direction. Because God understands the heart of the prodigal son. That heart cannot be won back by philosophy, cannot be won back by argument, and can only be won back by love. Long-lasting, patient, waiting love. And that's the father's heart. A couple years ago, I was in a seminary. I was in a meeting a mentorship meeting because one of the students in that seminary was my mentor serving in this church. And in that mentorship meeting, there was an old pastor, 70 years old. In the beginning of the meeting, he came up to the podium and asked in the room about 100, 120 pastors sitting there. He asked the first question. He's the founder of that mentorship program. He asked the question, have you ever doubted God? When he asked that question, the whole room was silent. I was looking around, 120 pastors. Have you ever doubted God? How would the pastors answer that? No, we never. Well, to my surprise, a lot of had not in that room. And then that old pastor, he said, I do all the time. I do all the time. We all have doubts about God. Are you real? Do you exist? Are you a loving God? We all have these doubts. God allow us to have doubts. Because this is a very important passage, important process for us to reach a genuine understanding and relationship with Him. Genuine relationship, real relationship, cannot be created from a vacuum. It has to be life experience. As this morning, some of us, maybe you are wandering around, you are searching, you are struggling. But I want to assure you, that is part of God's love. He did not prevent that. He did not manipulate that. But rather, out of His love, He allowed you to walk that journey with the hope and with His power that one day you will find the way back to Him. So God is a God. God of the kingdom is a God with lavishing love, with lavish love that even the most wayward sinner. When you want to return, there's always a way to return back to Him. He is in the business of winning heart, not winning mind, not winning argument only, but He is in the business of winning heart. And winning heart, sometimes He has to pay a dear price in waiting, in patience, and in pain. And this Father's love, a lot of time, is offensive to many. And especially to the older son. The older son finds his father's love is very offensive. The older son begrudges. The older son complains. The older son did not feel good. He felt angry. The older son angry at the father. He was angry with a spirit of grumbling. He complained in verse 28. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother had come, he replied, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all this year I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friend. But when this son of yours, who has squandered and your property and prostitute with prostitute and come home, you killed a fattened cow for him. You see the bitterness? You see this cynical attitude? You see the anger in his words, in his reply? He was upset. But the reason for him to upset was he did everything he's supposed to. But yet, he never enjoyed who he is. He did everything he's supposed to do, but he never enjoyed who he is. He worked as a slave in the father's home, but yet, he's supposed to be the elder son. He's supposed to be the beloved one, but he lived as a slave. He angry, he was grumbling, and he had an inflated sense of goodness. He thought he's good enough. Look, all this year I have been slaving for you and never disobey your orders. Yet you never give me even a young goat. He thought he was doing everything that it was required. But he forgot about the most important thing. To be a son, the most important thing to require is you have to act and behave like a son. You have to be a son. You could be doing all your duty, but your heart is not happy. God of the kingdom is a God with lavish love. And in his lavish love, he doesn't want us to begrudge about his goodness. He doesn't want us to begrudge about his generosity. Because grace means something we do not deserve. The very word grace in Greek is the same word as gift. Gift means we receive it because we don't deserve it. If you deserve it, it's not called gift. It's called wage. It's called salary. This older son, he did not understand what is grace. And for years, he labored, he served under his father's house with that kind of mentality. But God cares about our hearts more than what we do. That's why the father replied, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." You see, in his begrudged spirit, he didn't see that everything his father has belongs to him. Rather, he thinks that I have to work to earn those things. How do we know that we are the elder son? Well, when we are jealous about other people's success, especially in the church, in ministry, spiritual growth, then we know that our spirit is not right. In his lavish love, God's people ought not to begrudge about his generosity. Because his love, his heart is for all to return. And finally, the third character in this parable is the father himself. And it is the most important character in this parable. The father, in his lavish love, he wants to forgive the sins of both his sons and want us to do likewise. The father's heart is not only just for the prodigal son, but also for his older son. For the one who is complaining, for the one who is cynical, for the one who is bitter. But in this parable, you can see that the father's love that Jesus pictures seems to be very unrealistic. You could not find a father on earth behave like that. Even for the Jewish tradition, if in a Jewish family your son asks you for inheritance, want to break off with you, usually the father will go through a ritual saying that I'm going to disown this son to let the community know. So you take my, go ahead, I give you my portion, go. But the father will go through that ritual to disown the son and let the whole community know. But it did not happen in this parable. And I think Jesus tried to picture it in a very unrealistic sense, because the Heavenly Father's heart toward sinner, the love, is really, really unrealistic in a sense that you and I, we might not even experience it fully on this earth. So listen carefully. A lot of time, we try to project the Heavenly Father's image to our biological father and mother. Some, our family, our original family, might be very healthy. You are blessed with that kind of love. But a lot of us, our own family who grew up, was somehow somewhat dysfunctional. But don't let your impression about God, about the Heavenly Father, dwell on that. Because Jesus here picture something that you cannot find on earth. The Father's heart is unrealistic. You see, he's been pictured like an old man every day facing the role with the eye, with the expression on his face, is waiting and waiting and waiting. It's a long waiting heart, waiting for the prodigal son to return. And when the son returns, before the son say anything that he rehearsed already, saying that I'm not worth anything, I'm unworthy of anything, I just want to be a slave in your family. Before he says, shh, don't say anything. Put the best robe on him, put the ring on him, and hug him regardless how filthy he was. And bring him into the family. You cannot find a father on earth like that. And that is our Heavenly Father. That is our Heavenly Father. That is the Father's heart. That is our Father, the God of the kingdom. With this kind of love, when we understand this kind of love, we can reconnect with our Heavenly Father. So no matter how wayward you are away from Him, you might come to church every Sunday, but your heart may be cold, may be drifting away. But the Heavenly Father is still waiting for you. He did not intervene your decision. He did not prevent you from leaving. He did not manipulate you. Because He knows your heart can only be won back by His love, by His patience. Let's bow and pray. I want to invite you to a moment to pray for yourself, to pray for your heart. That this morning, if you are drifting away from God, I hope this simple message, this powerful parable that Jesus communicated to us, will be an encouragement to draw you nearer to the Father's heart. Whatever struggle that you have, He understands. And He's waiting. And also, it's out of this heart we can be empowered to live a missional life, that we can mimic the Father's heart toward this lost world. Maybe toward someone in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, that a lot of people look down upon, rejected. But the Father's heart encourages us to be patient and to accept. Father, we thank You that this morning in the worship, through the songs You speak to us. Father, we thank You this morning for the testimony that our sisters bring it to us. Thank You, Father, for the word that you minister to our hearts. Father, we pray for those among us that maybe we come to the church every Sunday. We do our deeds, but our hearts is away from you. Father, we are reassured this morning that your love toward us is the same toward the most wayward sinners. And your love is beyond our imagination, even to a degree that we think is unrealistic. But thank God, it is real. Father, we also pray for our church, for our congregation, that as we enjoy your love, we know that your kingdom will advance, and one day it will prevail. But while we walk on earth, we walk this journey, give us the heart of the Father, that we love this world. Love this world in a way that you call us to serve them, whether materially, spiritually, or relationally. Father, may you empower us this morning. Listen to our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name.